And of course, open lines here for you on Coast to Coast AM. Great email in from Jim. I'm going to read a portion of it to you. George, I worked at CKLW Television. That, by the way, is in Windsor, Canada. I know it well. That's where I used to go see Bozo. 1969 to 73, Art Servey was Bozo. He was a salesman for commercials. Once he put the outfit on, he wasn't Art anymore. He was Bozo. One of the jobs I did was taking Bozo's Fun Hut to various places, car dealers, toy stores, etc. One time we were driving the Fun Hut to Birmingham, that's in Michigan, to set up a dealership. But the police stopped us because the rear light was out and they were going to give us a ticket and told us we have to have it fixed. Bozo wasn't with us and we didn't know what to do. Then kids from the neighborhood appeared and started to shout at the police saying, "Let Bozo go!" This grew larger, and the police simply let us go. It was a great time. I was proud to be Bozo's bodyguard. Still have a photo of me pushing back some kids in a toy store. I moved to L.A. I went into screenwriting. Still at it. Jim, great email. Great email. Okay, here we go as we get this hour underway with open lines. Let's go to Hawaii, Maui, the island, of course. Richard is with us. On Coast to Coast, west of the Rockies, way aloha. West. Hey, Richard.
Say aloha. First, I have to say aloha, and then, of course, I'm a Howley. I grew up in L.A., worked for KABC, KLOS.
Oh, did you? Cool.
KGO. My first job, let me tell you the gas prices here on Maui. Right now, $2.34 for regular. That's at our Costco gas station. And then it's everybody else is about $3.13 for regular. George.
That's a little high, but for Hawaii, everything's high, isn't it?
It's better than when I moved here. And the highest it ever got was $5.18 for regular.
Oh, God.
That was bad. And that's been a while, but that was rough.
Let's hope we never see that again.
Let's hope so. I don't care what the stock market does. We deserve some low gas prices. It helps the economy over here a little bit, you know, the tourists get around.
But Maui is a gorgeous island, isn't it?
I love it. I first saw this in 1966. I was on break from Vietnam. And let us come over here, and I saw, I'm in the Pili Bay. I'm about 30 feet from the water, George, and it's a starry, starry night, and there's very little wind. It's beautiful here right now, but it can be nasty.
Oh, yeah, you can get some rough weather.
100-mile-an-hour winds coming down Haleakala, knocked over my radio tower. I've been broadcasting for 54 years now.
Good for you.
You have a couple good years and you have a few bad years, you have to sort of average it out, right?
Yeah.
And my mom is 101, and I wanted to, God bless your mom. And hey, if we're lucky, if we can make it to 85.
You're right. You know, my dad made it to 88. I actually thought the guy would keep going forever, but he didn't.
My dad made 89, and my mom's still going. So.
Well, you know what? As much as we miss them, Richard, and I do all the time. That was a great run. 88 is a great run.
You look at the averages and you look what they're, you know, sometimes at checkout time it's not too plus.
Well, you look at Prince, God rest his soul now, 57 years old. That's young. He's gone. It's over.
It was a full-blown age, you said.
That's what the National Enquirer reported.
Well, I guess they know what they're doing, right? They might know.
But I think it was the painkiller drugs that got him.
It's hard because a Vietnam vet, you know, I've got pain. I've had two big, my back's all cut up. And, pain is a problem. I get my pain pills from Canada. They're better.
It's cheaper, too.
They're cheaper, but I guess it's against the law, but I do it anyway because pain is more important than the law, right, sometimes?
Yeah, just try to wean yourself off them if you can.
Oh, they're, all pills are poisonous, right, George?
I think so.
They don't help you any. But
they help a little. A little moderation of everything is okay.
And one quick thing, everybody wants to get on here, and this will be my final thing. Everybody watch out for these scammers that say they're the IRS and they call you and they...
Oh, my God.
Oh, it goes on. Yeah. And the people over here, you know, they scare people and then especially older people that are living by themselves and they come to their house dressed up in phony police odds and they steal everything.
Unbelievable.
This shit does happen.
The IRS does not call you up like that. And they just don't. So be careful. Same with scams that you get on email. Well, you might get a scam from your bank. And they'll say, hey, re-enter your password and stuff. People are stealing your identity. You have to be very, very careful. Tom, what do you got for us?
We have something from David in Memphis. This show really makes me think sometimes. Great show tonight, George. Do you have any idea what the very first TV show ever broadcast was?
I would like to think it might have been Milton Berle's show, but I'm not sure. I can't remember.
I think it was commercial advertising. Wasn't that the real first
You're too young.
Broadcast?
Well, hold on. Let's take a look here.
Actually, it was. It was on WNBT.
What was it?
It was, they just permitted them to do commercial advertising. That was known as day one of the American television.
1941 was television.
July.
The world's first legal television commercial advertisement was for what company? Bulova Watches on WNBT.
Right.
Between baseball games. Boy, I bet people love that stuff.
Don't you love Google?
I'm not on Google. I'm just remembering that.
Oh, I'm just asking if you like Google.
I do love Google, but I was just...
Just by memory, you were telling me that.
And then what is Catherine Albrecht's start? Was it Start Page?
Start Page, yeah.
Start Page. That's right. I used to call it Smart Page. That's Start Page.
I bet they love that.
Okay. You're going to have one more text for us next half hour. Okay, thanks. Let's go next to Gary in San Antonio, Texas. Welcome to the program. Hi, Gary.
Hi, George.
I got to tell you, loved it when I saw the Alamo last year in San Antonio. It was so cool.
Yeah, it's a great experience to visit there. There's so much history and everything.
It's really strange walking around thinking of what happened hundreds of years ago.
And it's even stranger to think about maybe, you know, you're in places where the Mexican troops... you know, settle down for the night. You know, there's so much that happened.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
But anyway, Kecksburg, that happened in 65.
Yes, she said 63, didn't she?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, anyway, George, I made a discovery 2 years ago about the presidential elections, and I don't know if anybody else has ever come up with this or not.
What's that?
Well, I'd gotten a new ballpoint pen, and I wanted something to write, so I started writing down presidents' names, starting with John Kennedy. So I wrote John Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson and Richard Nixon, all the presidents up through Barack Obama.
Okay.
And I added up the numbers in their names, and John Kennedy has 11, and Lyndon Johnson 13, and Richard Nixon 12, and Gerald Ford 10, all the way through Barack Obama, who has 11. All the presidents have different numbers of their names. There's nobody that has the same number, the predecessor or successor. Okay, Bush had 10, Clinton 11, Bush 10, Barack Obama
and
11.
And these numbers are what, the total letters in their name?
Yes.
First name, last name, right?
That's right.
Okay.
And so so this election, the first person they really trotted out was Scott Walker. And so I got out my list, and it had 11 numbers in his name. I said, it's not going to be Scott Walker. And every other candidate, the other 16, they all had different numbers in their name except for Donald Trump.
Oh, really?
Donald Trump has 11 numbers in his name.
I have 11 in mine, too.
Yeah, well, you're not running for president yet.
No.
That's next time.
Maybe.
But, Donald Trump has 11 numbers. Barack Obama has 11 numbers, so it won't be Donald Trump.
You're convinced that just because of this number, he's not going to make it. How about Hillary Clinton? Let's count hers.
She's got 14.
She's got 14. Is that different?
Well, they usually have no more than two numbers different in their names, like 12, 10, 11, 12, 10, 11, 10, 11. So Hillary Clinton, that might be a new trend. You know, Ted Cruz would be 7. John Kasich would be 10, so that would work. But there was a lot of candidates that had 10, 12, 13. But Donald Trump and Scott Walker, I mean, they were mathematically eliminated right off the bat.
All right. We're going to watch this and see if your numbers hold up.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
One more thing.
Yeah.
Last night you had Mr. Stone on.
Yes.
And the one question, you know, the Bush family, of all the fascinating things you talk about, the Bush family is the most fascinating thing of all. I mean, I'm fascinated with the Bush family.
Well, and you're from Texas, and right. So are they.
And we hear so much about the Bushes, and but you know, I'm a numbers guy and a money guy. And I mean, how much money are they worth?
I think they're worth a lot of money.
I mean, you know, if anybody Mr. Stone would know.
The family was worth money before even the other Bushes came into power.
I know. I mean, this has gone on for, what, 3 or 4 generations?
Yeah.
And they're in on all the insiders.
It's a dynasty.
A dynasty. I mean, the royal family, they're the last royal family in this country. It was the Kennedys, now it's the Bushes. And after the Bushes are gone, after, you know, George H.W. Bush is gone, you know, we're going to be without any of the royal, you know, figures from the past. And, of course, a lot of that stuff started with the World Wars, World War I, World War II. And so with George H.W. Bush passing, this will be his last election.
And I'm convinced that had he not died in his plane crash, John Kennedy Jr. had a great future.
Yeah, well, with the Kennedys, there's so many ifs and so many tragedies and so many scandals, you know. And but with the Bushes, everything is hidden and concealed. You know, they've had April Glaspie and Scooter Libby. And then, of course, Paul O'Neill, who was George W. Bush's, you know, Treasury Secretary, and he said from day one they were talking about, you know, invading Iraq and getting Saddam. And then, of course, they said it was about the weapons of mass destruction. But with George W. Bush, he said it one time, and he never said it again. He tried to kill my daddy. The Bushes,
that's exactly right.
The Bushes were hung up on getting Saddam because he tried to have George H.W. Bush assassinated when he went over to Kuwait to get his award. So it was all about that. He put all his chips on the...
And here's the thing. Did Saddam really try to do that?
He probably did. I mean, Saddam was a rascal, you know, but Saddam had mellowed, you know. By the time George Bush got into office, George W. Bush...
The evil ones were Saddam's sons.
Yeah.
Those guys were out of control. I mean, if they saw a pretty Iraqi woman who was married, they'd go get the guy, the husband, and put him in a wood chipper.
But George, was that a rumor? I mean, we also heard about Saddam, his people taking babies out of incubators whenever they went into Kuwait.
That wasn't true. But I think the thing about the sons, I think that's real.
But you know, when you can't really blame the dad for the sons or the sons for the dad. But by the time George W. Bush got in office, Saddam had gotten older, and of course we all get mellower as we get older, you know.
Well, yeah, but I gotta tell you this, Gary. If I knew my kids were putting people in wood chippers, mm-hmm. I'd have a little talk with them.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Saddam, yeah, he was a bad guy, but I mean, look what happened. And Brett Scowcroft told George W. Bush, he said, "Don't do it." You know, he was right. He was a national advisor under his dad's administration. And he told him, "Don't do it." I mean, that Middle East is a hornet's nest. You stir it up, and you're going to get burned. And you know, but George W. Bush, he was going to get Saddam one way or another, and he got his way. And that's why they brought Cheney in to be the vice president for George W. Bush. It wasn't that they chose Dick Cheney to select George Bush as vice president, which was another Bush lie. They brought Dick Cheney in because he would be the person that could get it done. He was the ultimate insider.
Well, he was. You know, Richard Dreyfuss played him in the movie W, mm-hmm. and did a great job doing that. A just absolutely great job. And you know, if the portrayal is accurate, Cheney wanted everything, and he said, "And the target is Iran." And we're not done with that yet.
You say Iran, not Iraq.
Iran was the target.
Iran was the target.
That's the reason we went into Iraq. We wanted to circle Iran with all these other countries.
Well, George, I could tell you something else about Iran if you have a few extra minutes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. You know, remember Flight 800?
Yes.
July 1996. And we were saying, well, it might have been a plane, it might have been a missile, it might have been the Navy, you know, mm-hmm. exercises. But what this comes down to, in 1979, whenever Iran took our hostages, you know, of course, we got them back when Ronald Reagan, you know, took office 444 days later. But we had a lot of CIA covert operatives over in Iran long after we officially, cut ties with them.
Right.
Okay, so you remember 1994, 15 years later, after we became enemies with Iran, we shot a plane down over the Persian Gulf.
Mm-hmm.
There were 6 main Iraqis that we were after. I mean, Iranians. Iranians we were after. And we had them followed every day by our CIA operatives over there.
And once they were on that plane went down.
That's right. And then 2 years after that, the Flight 800 went down. So to this day, I maintain that the Iranians were in our internet, or in our waters off the coast of New York, and they shot our plane down. We shot their plane down in 94, we shot their plane down in 96, and then of course when John McCain was running for president in 2000, remember that silly song he used to sing, Bomb, 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 Bomb Iran?
Yeah.
And everybody thought, you know, that sounds so childish and stupid. But John McCain is the one person that knows what really happened about Flight 800. Who really shot it?
Well, I got to tell you, we've done some stories on Flight 800 a lot with Jim Sanders. He contends that we shot it down by accident with a Navy missile that was supposed to take down a smaller plane that was going to ram TWA Flight 800 as it took off from New York. Who knows what would have happened there? We have more calls for you, so let's go next to who is up. Joe in Fraser Park, California on the wild card line. Joseph, go ahead.
How you doing?
Good, Joe.
Got a story for you.
All right.
Happened, it's been bugging me for years. I'm 59 now. It happened when I was 17.
What happened?
I was 2 weeks short of going into the Army. My parents are going to Vegas, and I was full of it. And as soon as they went out the door, we jumped in their car, went to the Salton Sea to fish.
Okay.
Come back, we're, maybe an hour out of Salton Sea, and the car breaks down.
Oh, gosh.
We're out in the middle of nowhere.
And you're panicking.
And it was getting dark, so we went to sleep.
In the car?
In the car. There was nothing around us. We were right in the middle of nowhere.
That's scary all by itself.
Oh, at least. About 8 o'clock that morning, there's a tap on my window.
Uh-oh. Hate those taps.
And there's this kid. He must have been 18, 19 years old, out in the middle of nowhere. I rolled down the window. He says, need some help? And I'm thinking, now, what do you think? I said, well, the car doesn't work. He says, let me see what I can do. I'm thinking, where did this guy come from?
Yeah.
He gets under the car. First he asked me if I got any tools. I said, no. He says, well, don't worry about it. I got some. Out in the middle of nowhere. Gets under the car, says, turn the car over. Turn the car over, and it works.
Just like that.
Just like that. And he says, okay, drive it home. Do not go anywhere but home, or the car will break down. So my friend in the car says, look, we got to do something for this guy. Let's give him a ride. George, he walked 15, 25 feet from the car.
And then he disappeared, didn't he?
He disappeared. He was gone.
Oh, my gosh. That's a great story. We're going to come back. We're not disappearing. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you, along with your calls on Coast to Coast. Open lines. And we're going to take one more text message a little bit later this half hour as well. Let us pick it up by going to Idaho. Richard's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Richard, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay, Rich, pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing okay. What I wanted to discuss was the new CDC guidelines on prescription drugs.
I know they're coming down on doctors telling them back off on these pain pills, folks.
Well, here's what's going to go on. 2 million patients are going to be completely taken off, a lot of them cold turkey, which is not right.
That's not good.
And it goes farther. They want to get rid of steroid injections and leave you with this Enbrel or the other ones. And they're trying to push this thing called Codex Alimentarius.
You got it.
Where they want to do the quality control on your supplements.
Yep.
Well, guess what? They're coming after our supplements. So if you do Longevity, Lavelle, Rainbow Light, any of the manufacturers, they're going to be coming after our supplements as well. This is totally unfair.
I don't think they'll be able to pull that part off. What do you think?
The people let them. If we let our voices be known, I don't think it'll happen.
No, I don't either. We've been champions about things like this, and maybe we've had some kind of influence on that. In terms of getting people off some of these meds, what do you think of that, good or bad?
I think it should be done gradually at a 15% rate per medication. And if you use your supplementation before you lower your dosages, the withdrawal symptoms are not quite as bad.
We've got Dr. Peter Breggin, who has written a book called Medication Madness. He thinks that we are over-medicating people.
I agree.
You do?
I do, and especially with the antidepressants, because that's what they're doing with the pain yeah. patients.
Now, the fact that you brought this up tonight, has something like this happened to your family or some kind
it's
of episode?
It's happened to me, and what's going on is they're trying to push the antidepressants, and I'm not depressed.
They want you to take that?
That's what they do. They say it helps chronic pain, but it doesn't. It just messes people up.
I think it brings you down, doesn't it?
It brings you down, it makes you groggy, and then some of these antidepressants act like amphetamines. So what they do is they give you stuff like Xanax or Ambien, and more people die with the Ambien. And the statin drugs, you don't hear the CDC talking about the statin drugs. Those almost killed me twice.
You got to be very careful with all of them. And if you do take statins, take CoQ10.
Right, I do take CoQ10, and who got me started on this was MZ down at Casio in Santa
Cruz. Oh, he's a great guy, isn't he?
I've known him since 1973.
Oh, that's super. You know, we're going to have an event there. I don't know if it'll be this year, but maybe next year. So you got
to
come out there.
I wanted to make Alex Jones back in 2010, but I just couldn't make it down there. But he's a really cool guy. If you go on YouTube, you type in KSCO 1973, they got Michael's Whirling when he was on the old cable telephone for KSCO 7.
Yeah. MZ's one of a kind. And what you can do is go to our website and then look for the little clips there that you'll find. Or go to criticalhealthnews.com, and you'll be able to get the videos that they've put together with Doc Wallach. You will find them fascinating. Let's go to Gene in Mansfield, Ohio. Gene, welcome to the show.
Hello, George. First of all, much respect and love to you and your staff for the stellar job that you do.
Well, thank you. They are all beaming with joy with that comment.
And I just wanted to say, and you'll probably catch this familiarity of growing up watching Big Chuck and Houlihan.
Big Chuck and Houlihan? I never saw that.
And Big Chuck and Little John, yeah, out of Cleveland. But anyway,
it was local, right?
I could remember a movie when I was little that scared the bejesus out of me, and I have never been able to find out what it was. What? And I'm quite sure it was a similar deal where I was probably not supposed to be watching it, talk the babysitter into it or whatever.
What kind of movie was it?
It was a lady who either, I don't know if she was a reporter, anthropologist or what, but she'd gone abroad, and she'd come back, and she had this little doll that was carved like a little Aboriginal person, and this doll had a knife in its hand and it had a chain around its waist. And there was a legend or a paper that came with it that said, whatever you do, don't let the chain fall off the waist.
Oh, and it became alive, right?
And it came after her. Oh, my. And then she got bitten by it. And, you know, it shows her, like, stabbing the floor with a machete while she's answering the phone saying, sure, Mom, come on over.
And were there all kinds of little dolls after that?
All I remember is her trying to kill it and it being under the couch and slicing her all up, and then she throws it in the oven and tries to bake it, but then it gets out and bites her, and then she kind of starts to turn into it. It's, oh my gosh, it's had me in therapy since.
I don't blame you.
I have no idea what the movie was, and then to beat all, it was kind of a double feature, and I believe the second movie was something about a man getting bitten by a snake, and then it showed all these horrible contortions he was going through turning into a snake.
I'm going to try to find the name of that for you.
I would love to find out just for curiosity.
Now, what year do you think it was?
Okay, well, I am 49, and I was probably 7 or 8. So, you know, it's been a good 35, 40 years ago.
All right, so let's say 40 years ago. So this was like in 40 years ago, 74?
Well, I was born in 66, So I was about 8 or 9. So, and then, like I said, with the double feature deal with that, you know, guy contorting into a snake, it was kind of like the Hulk turned into the Hulk, only, you know, Spider-Man because of getting bitten, but he'd been bitten by a snake. And then it was, but the special effects for a 9-year-old were just way too much.
Was it called the Zuni doll?
That might, you know, I can't remember the name of it, but that sounds.
It was
like
the movie. The movie was called Trilogy of Terror, and it was about what they called the Zuni doll.
Oh boy!
With Karen Black.
I don't know if I'm brave enough to watch it, even as a grown up.
This thing had a spear. Yeah, he looked like a little tiny woodsman from
like an aboriginal person.
Yes, yes. With long hair, and he was about a foot tall.
Oh my!
And he had.
Remember her?
And he had
her laughing at the legend, saying, "Don't let the chain fall off," and slamming it down on the end table. The chain falling, and her going to get in the shower, and you just knew.
And he had these spiky-looking teeth, right?
Oh, it was just I still have the.
All right, that's the name of it. The name of the movie is called Trilogy of Terror. /Zuni, Z-U-N-I doll. How about that? We found
it. Okay. Well, and how about the fact that I'm Native American? And along that note, I just wanted to bring up, you know, you and a guest were speaking about Wounded Knee, and my brother Leonard Peltier is still in jail.
Still.
And we are pushing for a clemency with the president on his way out of office. So I would urge all your listeners to please go online and get behind that. You can find a link anywhere. And please put your support behind that and let your local representatives and politicians know that we haven't forgotten my brother Leonard, because he's been in jail way too long.
That's been a long time. Hey, thanks for the call. Okay, we've got our final text message with Mr. Danhuyser.
We sure do, from Trina in North Dakota.
I like that name.
Trina?
Yeah.
It's a nice name.
Didn't we work with a Trina on one of our productions?
I don't know. There's a lot of them.
All right. I barely remember your name.
That's not true.
What's your name?
You tell me.
All right, there you go.
I'm going crazy with the choices in this election. I'm 29, and I want to know if you think my future politicians will be better than the choices I see today. And then it says, P.S., I need to know your favorite horror movie. So there you go.
Well, let me tell you about the politicians. Are your future politicians going to be any better? Who knows? Who knows? This has been a very strange year. You know, Donald Trump might surprise everybody if he wins this election. We just have to watch it unfold. I mean, there's some things about the Clinton that I'm not too happy about, but we shall see. But I tell you one thing. I think we have an obligation, once we get down to the two major candidates, to get them on this program and see if they have the guts to take phone calls from our coast-to-coast
listeners.
Wouldn't
that be great?
You know, that would be cool. In terms of my favorite horror movie, oh, that's an interesting question.
There's so many.
There are many. The Hostel ones, that series, H-O-S-T-E-L, those movies.
Oh, yeah.
Those were strange.
Very strange.
You know, those were kind of scary. I think The Shining might be the one. That was kind of scary.
Did you ever see, I know your reaction, did you ever see It?
About the clown?
Uh-huh.
Yes. He lived in the gutter?
Yes.
In the sewer system?
Yes.
Yeah. That was a Stephen King movie.
Pennywise.
That's one of the reasons I hate clowns.
That's one of my most scariest for me.
Do you like clowns?
I don't really like them, but I don't dislike them.
Well, I don't like clowns. Thanks.
See ya.
All right, Andrew, St. Paul, Minnesota, your turn on Coast to Coast. Andrew, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey George. I appreciate you taking my call, and
sure,
it's always great to talk to you, my friend.
You too. Thanks for hanging in there.
You betcha. I truck drive out of Eden Prairie, Minnesota by the mall. I've talked to you a couple of times.
Right by my old house back in 78.
I tried to figure out where there's housing over there. The mall's changed a lot since you've lived out here, but I don't see any houses around the mall, so I was just kind of curious on where you live. So as I truck drive, like I said, I'm stationed out of there, and But anyways, my question is, one of the there's a lady that I delivered to, and she was telling me that her husband was in the Navy. This is a Navy related question. That's why I'm calling you. And,
okay.
Try to make this real quick. She said that in the 90s, when her husband was overseas, she was given a number called the West Coast Operations Line, and she could call it and figure out when you can find out when any ship or sub comes back to port. And I just think that, and she says that that the line is still active, and she's still got the number. Her husband's out of the Navy now, and I just think it's crazy that post 9/11, this line is still out there, and anybody can get this number. I don't know how to get it. I looked on Google, and I just think it's really crazy that this number's out there, and anybody, you know, with ISIS and all the terrorist stuff going on. I was wondering, have you ever heard of this?
I never heard of that at all. I was in the Navy 9 years. I never heard of this.
Right. That's why I'm asking you this, because I figured, if, you know, you would either know or you wouldn't know. So,
and I wouldn't.
Okay. All right. Well,
in terms of the housing, I think we were south of where the mall is, and okay. It was a brand new subdivision, and houses all over the place.
Are you talking houses or townhomes or?
No, they're detached single-family houses.
Okay, that's a really nice area. You should try to make it back out here one of these days and see how much it's changed. Because that mall, they filmed many movies at that mall. I don't know if you know the Clerks and Office Space and
my TV station I worked for before I went to KSDP, which is in St. Paul, was in Edina. Channel 9 out there.
Okay.
Long time ago.
Before you let me go, I just want to say I hopefully someday I get to shake your hand in person, because I mean you're there at night, and that's my hours. I've been a night owl my whole life, and the Army never even changed that. It's great to listen to you every night, and when I'm out in my garage working on stuff, it's in the middle of the night. It feels like you're right there talking to me. And even when I'm by myself and feel lonesome, I turn on the radio and you're right there. And I don't know what I'm going to do when you're gone, man. So hopefully someday I can shake your hand in person.
I'm not going anywhere, God willing. Don't worry about it. Thanks, Andrew. And we'll meet up one day. You just never know. In the meantime, well, we just become radio friends. Simple as that. I've got a minute left. Look, Mary has been online for well over an hour. Mary, I probably don't have time for your story, but at least you're on. Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
I've been listening to you since Moses was in short pants.
It's been that long.
And I love you, and I love your show. I think from midnight to 6 in the morning, we should decompress. And by by listening to your program, that's exactly what I do. My favorite horror movie is Jeepers Creepers, the second one.
I remember that.
Awesome. That's an awesome movie. And I was screaming into the phone, Karen Black, Karen Black.
That's it. See, I was right, though. I found it.
Yep, you sure did. The reason for my phone call is about death. My husband...
Oh, we're not going to have time. It's over. The show's over. How about Friday? Can you call me back?
I could, but I don't know if I'm going to get through.
Well, give it a try. Do the best you can. I'll tell you what. Tom, get her phone number. We'll call you Friday and make sure you get on to talk about your story of death. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Donna Walker, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.